You've been listening to the sixth installment of Francis Durbridge's serial thriller, Send for Paul Temple, produced by Martin C. Webster. This episode will be repeated in the London and Maine regional program tomorrow morning at 12:20. The seventh episode of Send for Paul Temple will be broadcast in the Midland regional program on Friday, May the 20th at 7:35 p.m. and in the London and Maine regional program on Saturday morning, May the 21st at 12:20.
Can you talk about the character of Paul Temple?
Very little, I think. I was not a method actor. It was the great days of the method actor, you know, where you looked to see if your character had been abused as a boy and all that. I tried to write, to act the character exactly as Francis wanted it, I hoped. A strong character. I used a slightly deeper voice than my own one, because I thought that was more appropriate. And otherwise, I think I just tried to make him a human character as written.
What was the significance of the Coronation Scott signature tune, do you think?
Well, whenever I hear it played now, I get nervous, because it was always started off every program. And I still get shivers down my back when I hear it. Some dreadful advertising company used it, and I still found myself anxious. Because there were so many things in those days, I've tried to analyze why I was so anxious. There's so many things that could have gone wrong in those days. We did them live. And so, being a compulsive worrier, I used to worry if I dropped my script. The turning of the pages was very difficult in those days. It was, if you heard the rustle of a page, you ruined the whole atmosphere. So one had to be terribly careful. And my other great worry was that my glasses steamed up. In the exciting episodes, where we were panting and over having to struggle in water or something, I suddenly couldn't see the thing. So that was always a great worry. So Coronation Express, to me, is always very frightening, although it also brings back the most wonderful memories.
And can you tell us how you got to be cast as Paul Temple?
Yes. I did a lot of broadcasting. I'm extremely lucky in that I have a voice, or had a voice, that the microphone liked. And this is rather comparable to a film star, the camera falling in love with her, and she could do anything, and it's right. And I had a lucky voice. I used to have a tremendous amount of work, actually. A great many classics. But I did play twice, I think, in Paul Temple, when somebody else was playing Paul Temple. I think I once played the villain, and I once played something else. So the producer and the author of Paul Temple knew my work, and one day they came to me and they said, would you like to be Paul Temple? So I thought it was a joke, because Martin Webster was a great prankster. So I was very careful, and I said, oh yes, how funny. But they said, no, we really mean it. So I said, well, of course it'd be absolutely marvelous. And Francis said, before we have any agreement, you will come out and have lunch with me tomorrow. So I got awfully worried. I thought, now what in the hell can he have found out that I can't do, or something or other? So we had lunch together, and we talked about a lot of subjects, and eventually it came to why. He said, now let us get this absolutely clear. I am the writer of Paul Temple. I know you're a playwright. I had two plays on in the West End at the time, actually. And I do not want any of your ideas or words put into Paul Temple. And of course I agreed. And I only once went against this, once in a bit, actually. It's funny how small things upset one. I used to have to say, well, all the Paul Temples had to say, Francis always wrote in an exclamation saying, by Timothy. Now I hated this. And one day I murmured something about I knew I shouldn't have. An icy silence followed, so I hurried on to something else. But after a few episodes, I found out how to deal with it. So instead of saying, by Timothy, Inspector, you're quite right, I found very cunning that if I said, "My Timothy Inspector, you're quite right, so that you didn't hear it," so it solved that problem. And the other one I'll tell you at the end, which is at the end of the interview, if you don't mind, because it's to do with Francis. And
What do you think was the enduring appeal of this series, why it ran for so long?
I think two main reasons. The first being the script. Now, Francis was an extremely clever writer. There was never any great wit or learning in it. It was very natural, but he was a complete master of suspense. Every scene ended in suspense. Of course, the end of each series, so that you listen, I mean, at the end of every episode, he was very cunning, and it was always some great excitement, a cliffhanger, like Marjorie Westbury, who played Steve, of course, used to be saying, "Look out, Paul!" And so they had to listen the next week to see why I had to look out. And he was an absolute master of that. And each scene was terribly cleverly, they were very short scenes. And every scene, when it finished, it wasn't always excitement, but it was something that somebody said would nag you. And you think, now, why did she say that when she wouldn't have known about it or something? So one was always held. And it was quite extraordinary that it was a success to me, because there was no sex in Paul Temple, and there was no violence. We had a mass of corpses. Corpses were always big fun, but they were all nicely dead. You never saw anybody beating up or blood or anything like that. And so it was really rather surprising, because the amount of, you know, everything is sex nowadays. And that it was a success was really extraordinary.
You said there were two reasons why.
Oh, and of course, the second reason was the producer, Martin Webster, who was a very, very clever producer. Although one didn't realize it, he dealt with actors with such velvet gloves, with the iron inside, that you never realized exactly what he was doing. He never raised his voice or got angry, which other producers do. One of the first productions I ever was in was with a producer who was a little bit unlike Martin. I had to say a line such as, "I play the piano and the lute." So I said it and switch off and say, voice back, "Mr. Cook, could you say that again?"